got the technique. The Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Blankers with some family duty. It'll be Brian and I for the final hour as we we'll listen to your misery about the Houston Astros for the next hour if you'd like. 713-780-ESPN.
Do we have enough
Astros
time for
fall
that?
6-14. We got an hour. We can figure out. We got an hour. We got strong and cheap drinks, Brian.
That's true. Well, I don't know if you have strong and cheap drinks. I've had a lot of margarita today. I'll tell you that.
This explains why you're talking a little funny.
Did you see the picture from Paul Gallant's Twitter account?
No, I don't follow him. No, I'm just kidding. No,
oh,
I didn't.
Wow.
I'm kidding. Strays. I'm kidding. Jeez. I was kidding. It was just a joke. It was a funny one.
Yes.
No, but I didn't see the picture though. No.
So they right as we got here with the Killer G's went on the air. They brought out what they call, and this is not even officially on the menu yet. It's going to be on the menu, I believe they said in a week, maybe 2 weeks. But they've got a jumbo margarita. They call the Large Marge, which is basically four large margaritas in this giant margarita cup.
I'm looking at it now.
They set it on fire at the when they serve it. You can see it all out on Paul's Twitter account at Gallant Says. There's a free plug for Paul.
What's on fire?
I would guess some sort of alcohol. I mean, I don't know what part of it. I mean, that's all. There's obviously alcohol mixed throughout it, but I'm not sure if they. I didn't see exactly how they lit it on fire.
Yeah,
but
something
just
orange.
Walked over and
it looks awesome.
Yeah, went up, and so yeah, we all had some of that bad boy. Didn't quite finish it all, but it's been a good time out here at Highway Cantina today.
Three guys, one cup.
I'm not even going to comment.
713-780-ESPN. Brandon T. Astro fans, don't worry. Astros' next eight series are against non-playoff teams from last year. Rangers play the Braves next. They will be playing in October.
I mean, Royals weren't a playoff team last year.
Yeah, Royals. So, I mean, like,
I'm just saying,
anybody
that criteria,
in baseball is capable of beating the Astros.
Like, yeah, exactly. I mean, the Royals weren't a playoff team last year, and they swept you in a non-competitive series.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that this is a tough part of the schedule. The pitching is not really – I mean, you've had to pitch guys you don't want to pitch. You're going to get guys back. But at the same time, you're not playing well. It'd be nice if you were playing well and you had those things. Like, if you were – you've played 20 games. If you're 10-10, whatever. Like, whatever. You're 10-10, whatever. But you're not that far off 10-10. You're four games below that mark. But you are eight games under 500, which you've – the first time you've been eight games under 500 since 2016. Like it's not great right now for the Astros. No, they believe in the back of the baseball card, not in analytics. Get rid of all the baseball cards at Minute Maid right now. Stop looking at the Jose
Abreu. Do they
sell
baseball cards in the team shop?
I don't know. I've never looked, but maybe.
I mean, if they do, I think we need to have listeners get rid of these. So they go in, buy them up, burn them, have a fire, and let's maybe get rid of some of this bad juju.
I don't hate it. Brandon T, Astro fans, don't worry. Oh, we already said that one.
Let me ask a question based upon what Brandon T said there to the text line. Like, he's not alone in this. We've seen this from a lot of fans and definitely people on the air as well here at ESPN 97.5. But there's a lot of people, you know, painting the picture, telling the story. Like, hey, don't worry, this is still a great team, great roster. They're going to figure this out. 6-14. You know, you're eight games under. You haven't been this far under 500 in the golden era of Astros baseball. I mean, if you don't want to panic now at 6-14, I guess we can have that conversation. Not you specifically, but the Astros fans in general. But at what point is it okay to panic? I mean, or at least maybe even if it's not panic, start to have doubt and concern that maybe this team this is the year they don't turn it around.
Yeah. I'm not there yet. Let's
May
wait
1st?
Till Memorial Day. Isn't that the number that we always throw out the date?
I think May 1st we said, yeah, well, not May 1st. Sorry, you're right. Memorial Day is what we said, I think, maybe a week or so ago.
But even if it is May 1st, like, your record might not be where you want it to be, but if you have Verlander that's back and he's pitching fine and Fromber comes back and he's looking pretty good, that's going to give you some optimism, right? Like, you might not have the record that you want, but it's like, oh, okay, Verlander's here going six innings every start and is keeping you competitive in games and is pitching winnable games. Fromber's here and he's giving you Fromber things where you six, seven innings and you're in every game that he pitches in. And because you get those two guys back, you can chop off some of the fat of guys you don't want pitching at this level. So I don't think it's so much the record. It's almost like, what does the roster look like? Who's pitching? Is the offense hitting better in RBI situations? It's almost more vibes. Like, it's what's in Papa's belly.
Oh, man, I don't like the vibes talk after what we heard from the Rockets under Steven Silas. It just felt like it was all about vibes every week.
I mean, I think it's like it's more like confidence, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no, you're making a good point. Like, I mean, we're obviously going to get caught up in the record because how can you not when they're this far under 500, like you said, for the first time in this era of Astros baseball. But if Verlander gets back to being Verlander and he's on the mound Friday and then obviously Fromber returns and he's – at least good Fromber, not even asking him to be Cy Young Fromber, but if he's good Fromber, you pair that with, you know, Javier pitching well and Blanco pitching well, then it's hard not to see a reason for optimism that this thing could turn around.
For me, it's not panic. It's more about, to me, it's like laughable. Like, this is a comedy of, this is like a series of comedic efforts, like, or whatever, events, because of all the things we've talked about. Like, schedule's been tough, pitching's not been great, and you've been playing miserably bad. And hitting with runners in scoring positions has been brutal. And you're inventing ways to lose, whether it's Josh Hader putting up a big inning, whether it's Ryan Pressly blowing a hold, whether it's Jeremy Pena grounding into a double play, whether it's the Astros scoring one run. Like, you are inventing ways. Every single day is something new. Every single – like, the bullpen's bad one day. Your big money guys are bad one day. Jose Abreu's bad every day, whether it's offense, whether it's defense.
He's the one consistent.
Like, you're, every single game that you're losing, you've figured out ways to lose. So what's your frustration level with the Astros? 713-780-ESPN. 5798, frustration level with the Astros is beyond peaked. Now I'm on to dismal acceptance. Considering the schedule, I expected a 7-13 record through 20 games. Okay, well, they're 8-14. That's not bad. But I'm hopeful they can get back to or above 500 at the 60-game mark. I think that's a reasonable thing. Like, you have 40 games to get to 500 and then kind of set yourself in position for the final 122. I think that's realistic.
That's about Memorial Day, so I think that is probably the bar or the date on the calendar that we're looking at to really start to see, okay, is this just going to be a lost season from a team that's not as good as we thought they are, or is this a team that just scuffled early because of all the things we talked about, the schedule, the injuries, the comical performances? But then as time goes on, you know, and things start to find, you know, water starts to find its level, everything starts to come back towards the median, finds its ground, and starts to play like the team that they look like on paper.
9506, Crane is looking like Jerry Jones more and more each game. Good first hire, two rings, then big head. What do you think of that analogy?
I don't think it's unfair. Like, I don't think we can fully jump and label him as Jerry Jones today. But I certainly think there are comparisons there that can be made, especially with maybe the sense of taking control instead of trusting others to make decisions under him. Obviously, Jerry Jones was acting as his own GM for a long time, and also think we've seen Jim Crane look for the big splashy moves. Obviously, with Hader, the signing, and while ignoring the left field bat and the bench options and the middle relief options that we're all clamming for, in favor of making the big sexy splash free agent signing. So I think there are elements there where they do draw comparisons, but I mean, Jerry Jones did it for so long that I don't want to make that leap fully with Jim Crane, but certainly taking on the decision-making yourself a little bit, trusting people who have no business making these decisions, I mean, no offense, Reggie Jackson and Jeff Bagwell, over, you know, smart GMs who have made or have a little bit of a track record with Dana Brown and his time in Atlanta, running out James Click. Certainly those are Jerry Jones-type moves, so I'm at least concerned and keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, I think that he's turned into Jerry Jones.
I don't think he's there yet, but he's definitely, if we're going to be on pace guy, he's on pace to become Jerry Jones.
I mean, what did he do? Like, Jerry Jones moved on from Jimmy Johnson when they were winning
right.
Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Jim Crane moved on from James Click when they won a World Series. Like, and he started to become very much involved with roster management. Like, to me, there's a lot of similarities, and it's not great. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. 0974, the problem now is the margin for error is now too slim going forward. I highly doubt the team will not encounter more injuries. That's true. Injuries are going to happen. The playoff runs of the past 7 years is catching up to the team. I think that's a reach. Altuve, Alvarez, like, who cares? Like, the Yankees make the playoffs every single year. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think the playoff runs lead to catching up to the team and then you're going to be bad. To me, it's you put together a roster that has holes far more than you're going deep into the playoffs.
By choice.
Yeah.
And that goes back kind of, I think, to the Jerry Jones conversation. I think a lot of people were in favor of it, myself included. When they made the Josh Hader signing, I was excited. I mean, obviously, yeah, sure. He's been the best closer in baseball, or, you know, at least, you know, top two, three closers in baseball for, you know, the last 5 years or so. But when you make that move and you make it at the expense of shoring up the middle of your bullpen and bats off the bench, where maybe you could afford to take some of these guys who are grounding into double plays and going or hitting 111 like Jose Abreu, when you make that move and expense of fixing those holes, then you have to wear the L's that are caused by that.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Something feels off this year. I'm not ready to go that far yet. 8807 just left team shop 10 minutes ago. Yes, there are baseball cards.
Oh, no. Okay, they, see, we got to buy them. I don't want to give them money for it, though.
Here's another thing. Here's somehow. The price of them. $1,779. They do, and surprise, surprise, they're overpriced. $15 a pack.
Of course it's overpriced. Everything's going to be overpriced there. That's just the way it is at any stadium.
Should we bring in baseball cards the next time we're all in studio and,
you know,
and
what?
Burn
we should.
The baseball cards? I think I have one baseball card in my house.
Oh, I have lots of baseball cards.
Do you? And like, there was a neighbor during Halloween that was handing out baseball cards as, like, trick-or-treat stuff along with candy. And that's – I think it might be Sid Bream. I don't know. But, like, it's still in the oldest kid's trick-or-treat basket. So I could bring in that. We can set it on fire.
I'll bring in a few. Let's have a seance. Or I don't know if seance is the right word. But,
yeah, I don't know what it is. I'm not, like, weird. I'm not into that, that stuff.
An exorcism? Maybe an exorcism. No, I think exorcism would be the –
Yeah, let's burn baseball cards. We're going to do that Monday.
Let's not get caught up in the labeling. Yeah, we're going to burn baseball cards to try to get rid of the bad juju. We'll definitely.
And you know where we're going to start? You know where we're going to start on the baseball card? On the back of it. We're going to start on the back of the baseball card. We're going to bring lighters. We're going to bring a baseball card each, and we're going to light the back of the baseball card until it's entirely gone and it's ash on the desk. Don't tell the bosses.
No, yeah. Well, at least we're not going to spray each other with pepper spray. I heard that went poorly once before.
Not wise, guys. 4931, Astros lost Dusty and catcher. Any relation to the awful pitching?
I mean, I don't know how Dusty would be a relation to the awful pitching. I guess you could try to put a correlation between the loss of Maldi and a decline of the pitching. But a lot of the guys, especially Hunter Brown specifically, I mean – Yonder Diaz was catching him a lot last year anyway. So
it wasn't, exactly.
So, yeah, and he was good yesterday. So it wasn't like Maldi was catching all of Hunter Brown's games and Hunter Brown was amazing. No, his ERA was, I believe, over 5, and Yonder Diaz was catching a lot of his games. So I don't draw a conclusion there. I see where you could, but I certainly don't draw one with Dusty. He's not calling the games.
Here's why it's not a Dusty, it's not a Maldi thing when it comes to the pitching. Here's why your pitching's been bad. Okay, you've played 20 games. Brandon Bielak's thrown over 10 innings. Taylor Scott has thrown over 9 innings. Spencer Arrighetti has thrown 7. Better in the second start than his first. Sean Dubin, who I actually liked that I saw, has thrown 3 innings. Joel Kunell has thrown 2 innings. Dylan Coleman, an inning. Greg Kessinger, for goodness sakes, an inning. Miguel Diaz, an inning. Blair Henley got 1 out. Wander Suero got 0 outs. And then Forrest Whitley got 2 outs. Your pitching hasn't been good because a lot of the pitchers that you've used haven't been good, which, by the way, Forrest Whitley's been sent down to the minors. He was the move for Verlander. So Forrest Whitley got a sniff. He got his cup of coffee, and now he's heading back to Sugarland with his cup of coffee.
Back of the baseball card right now will say a 0 ERA for his career.
You know, if he never pitches again, if he never pitches in the bigs again, which, you know, is how unlikely, I mean, how possible is that? Like, I think it's in play here with the injury proneness of Forrest Whitley. He'll have a career ERA of 0.
Yeah.
Can't beat
Astros
that.
Astros record.
713-780-ESPN. What's your frustration level with the Astros right now? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Highway Cantina in Edo on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Brian. I'm Branham. Blank with some family duty. Had to duck off a little bit. Highway Cantina, the spot. Highway Cantina is always the spot. Margaritas are fantastic. The new one they're unveiling where you can set it on fire. It looks massive. It looks delicious. Open 7 days a week, 11 a.m., 9 p.m., 11 a.m., 10 p.m., Friday through Saturday. Strong drinks, cheap drinks. The food is fantastic. Happy hour, perfect for your date nights, your groups. Pat, you know what it's perfect for too, Brian? It's the perfect setting to sit down Jose Abreu and wish him well in his future endeavors. If they're going to DFA Jose Abreu, I suggest they do it at Highway Cantina over a few margaritas with strong drinks, cheap drinks. Say, Jose, we're giving you a margarita to celebrate the long storied career. Just look at the back of the baseball card, and you're no longer a member of the team.
I'm going to say, if, you know, whenever I get let go from whatever I'm doing where I need to let go from something, if they do it over some delicious enchiladas like I had today and a big-ass margarita, I'm going to feel better about it.
I would probably shake the hand of anybody that fired me, but maybe I even give them a pat on the back. Thank you. I appreciate
if they're buying me enchiladas and a big-ass margarita, I'm certainly more willing to hear what they have to say.
You know, if I'm ever in a position of power, I doubt I ever will be. But if I'm ever in that spot where I have to fire somebody, I'm going to take them to Highway Cantina, and I'm going to future endeavor them at Highway Cantina over a margarita and some fajitas. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Astros are terrible. What is your frustration level with the Astros? 713-780-3776. When is McCullers coming back? He's stealing money. I mean, he's not coming back until the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best you could hope for would be August 1. I don't know. I'm not going to put a date on Lance McCullers. I'll let the Astros tell me when he's coming back. There's not to cut off a topic. We got to talk about it, but there's no way to predict Lance McCullers at this point. I mean, he had an injury that didn't require Tommy John. He's basically been out for 2 years. I mean, how can you ever trust the guy or predict when he's going to be back?
Hold on, what did you say? He didn't need Tommy John.
I know, that's what I'm saying. He had an injury that didn't require Tommy John, yet he's been out for 2 years.
Yeah, the forearm tendon stuff. I guess if you're going to be optimistic about this, which maybe today is not the day for optimism, is that you hope that you figured out the problem and you fixed the problem, right? Like, well, why am I continuing to have this, you know, pain in my forearm? Well, because you have loose impediments and it's jacked up. Okay, well, let's have surgery to fix the loose impediments and what's jacked up in it. Okay, hopefully that means that it's going to be fine. And when Lance McCullers does pitch, Lance McCullers is good. But the big problem here is that Lance McCullers never pitches. 713-780-ESP at HRMP listener line. 7665 tells us that Jose Abreu's official batting average is .78, which is below his jersey number of 79.
Is the jersey number on the back of the baseball card? That might be the problem.
I think a jersey number would be on the back of the baseball card, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm just, man, it is beyond frustrating. And I do think I agree with you in the kind of the realization that you came to a couple of segments ago before Joel left, that these things that, you know, Joe Espada and Dana Brown and all these people are telling us about back of the baseball card, I agree with you. I don't think they actually really mean it at this point, but they're just kind of in a spot of, what are they going to say? Are they just going to say what we would say, that, hey, Jose Abreu's washed. He can't catch up to a fastball. He can't even catch up to a changeup at this point. And it's not coming back. I mean, unless there's some unknown injury that we haven't been made privy to, which I'm not going to completely dismiss that possibility because it's the Astros. But unless that is the case, there's really no other thing you could say other than he's washed if you're willing to tell the truth. But you can't go out there and just bury the guy. So the only really recourse you have is to tell us about the back of his baseball card.
How quickly can we get a new 2024 package of baseball cards out there? That way they can see the back of the baseball card for 2024 and move on. Because maybe that's what it's going to take. Maybe it's going to take a 2024 edition, Jose Abreu, .078 batting average. We look at the back of the baseball card, it says .078. Bagwell's like, oh, darn, he's not good anymore.
Yeah, maybe we could tell Bagwell in the eight-person panel that Jim Crane listens to for all his decisions that while we might not have updated baseball cards until next year, you can still look at their baseball reference page because those numbers on baseball reference will eventually go on to the back of the baseball card. And what would be, as you pointed out, on the back of the baseball card for this year is a batting average below the Mendoza line.
Do you think Bagwell has ever looked at baseball reference?
5%. I would say 5% maybe.
I don't think he knows what Baseball Reference is.
Yeah, probably not. You're probably right
there. I don't think he knows what it is.
Reggie
he definitely
Jackson
doesn't know what Baseball
definitely
Savant
hasn't.
Is. He has
no
clue.
Well, no, I hold out no hope that he's ever looked at Baseball Savant. But Baseball Reference, you can look at that and not still go into – you can look at that without going deep into the nerd stats. So I guess that would be the most basic entry level into nerddom as far as looking at stats.
It's your gateway.
Certainly he's
nerddom.
Not going to Baseball – Huh?
It's your gateway. It's your gateway.
Yeah, if marijuana is a gateway drug, Baseball Reference is the gateway to nerd stats.
Can Lo Profilo play first base? Yes, he's been playing first base a decent amount recently. 4218, like we learned when we grew up, why can't Jose Abreu choke up on the bat, have a different approach, and try to make good contact? Okay. All right. These guys are professional big leaguers. We're talking about choking up on the bat. He's just done.
Doesn't really
he's washed.
It doesn't address his bat speed.
Yeah. Texter says Yuli's pointing and sinister laughing right now. Maybe. But, I mean, Yuli Gurriel hadn't done anything either. I mean, Yuli would have been better than Abreu. Yeah, I mean, he was up and down, and he didn't do much, and he's currently on a minor league deal. Like, Yuli might be pointing and laughing, but Jose Abreu's the guy making $19.5 million. Jose Abreu's probably the one that's pointing and laughing. Now, someone did ask, would you rather kept Yuli over Abreu? The answer to that is yes, not because either one's good. It's just one of them makes $19.5 million less than the other. Like, if I'm going to pay a guy to be bad, do I want a guy on a minor league deal or do I want a guy at $19.5 million? I want a guy on a minor league deal. It's not that either one's good. It's pick the poison, and one's way cheaper. Bring back an analytical GM and an experienced manager. Change the locks on Jeff Easterby, Jeff Easter Bagwell.
wow. Have we reached the point of putting the Easterby name on a once-beloved Houston icon, Jeff Bagwell? That's... Man, I don't know if I'm willing to go that far.
I'm not willing to throw him on Easterby level, but I am willing to say that I want him nowhere near the roster.
Yes, I'm fine with him filling in for Blummer when Blummer wants to go and spend the week at a golf course. I just want him away from the roster decisions.
I'm also okay with Bagwell hanging out around the cages and giving a few tips on like how to hit. You know, hey, you know, look for this on a 2-0 count. Hey, you know, your back leg's lifting. Like, I think that that's where Bagwell's good at. But in terms of Bagwell making roster decisions, whoever thought that was a good idea? Your owner, Jim Crane, who's acting like Jerry Jones. 713-780-ESPN. I want Brent Strom back. I don't blame you. I like Brent Strom. 0240 says, keep Bagwell out of the booth, all cap letters with two or three exclamation points. The reason that I like Bagwell in the booth so we can mock him, quite frankly.
Well, and if he's in the booth, then he's not in the GM chair at that point. He can't do both at the same time. So, actually, you know what might be the best move for the Houston Astros and Blummer? I'm sorry, I have nothing against you. We need to fire Jeff Blum and put Jeff Bagwell in the booth full time. That way, he can't make GM decisions.
That's not a bad idea. I would take one for the team there. I'll just watch on mute. I feel like Jose Abreu is this team's Easterby. Moving on will signify a change in philosophy and ownership of bad moves. Who's closer to Jack Easterby, Jose Abreu or Jeff Bagwell?
Jeff Bagwell.
I think it's Bagwell.
Abreu's not making those decisions. I mean, obviously, the motivations behind the way that Easterby ruined the Texans and the way that Jeff Bagwell may have ruined the Astros, they're certainly different, but the results have sadly been the same.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We can continue in your Astro misery if you want. Just text us in. We'll also talk about we'll go from one fun topic to another. Top 10 biggest NFL draft bust of all time. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highway Cantina in Edo.
This reminds me of something. He's Brian. I'm Branham. Brian filling in for Blankers. Blankers had to leave a little early family duty. Austin is running today's show. He's producing today's show. Broadcasting live, Highway Cantina in Edo. Strong drinks, cheap drinks, fantastic. This is Kings of Leon, if I'm not mistaken. A-Rod. It just reminds me, did you catch the Rockets? It was Ryan Hollins was doing a Kings of Leon read the other day.
No,
he called it Kings of Leon.
No, I didn't see that.
I should have grabbed the audio on that to put it on Bad Take Boulevard, but it triggered my mind. Like, this is Kings of Leon, and you're listening to Ryan Hollins, Kings of Leon, which it does sound. Maybe you can make the case it sounds better.
Yeah, you know, if I had seen that without knowing, you know, the band previously, I can't say there's a 0% chance I would pronounce it that way, but that's pretty funny.
So I'm in the process, and it's a little hard to do this between breaks. I'm in the process of creating a GoFundMe to raise $38 million, actually $39 million, to DFA Jose Abreu. Will you donate to the cause?
How many baseball cards will we have to sell from our – that's what we do. We get all the listeners to sell their baseball cards, every one they have, and the proceeds of that go towards the DFA Jose Abreu Fund.
Yeah, I'm starting this right now. I'm going to do it. So if you want to donate to the DFA Jose Abreu GoFundMe, you can do that. I'm gonna make it live here as quickly as I can.
Can we make a change.org petition? How many signatures do we need? Oh, that's the thing where if you get so many signatures, like Congress actually has to look at it or something. I can't remember the exact.
Should I do a GoFundMe or should I do a change.org?
I mean, I think we keep all the options on the table. Let's do both.
Do all of them? See which one goes viral?
Yeah. Why not?
All right. Doesn't sound like a bad idea. Bagwell's monotone would make his color commentator gray. He is pretty monotone, but he's pretty insightful sometimes. Okay. This guy says Papa Baker is sorely missed, ? It's hard for me to put what's going on with the Astros managerial, but there are some things I've seen with Joe Espada I don't love. Like, he likes to use the reliever in an up-down spot where he finishes an inning, comes back for the next. I don't like doing that in the regular season. Dusty almost never did that. I don't love that. The whole aggressive base running, I don't think he has the personnel to do it with. It's too early to tell on Espada, even though you've lost, 14 of your first 20 games. But there are little things that I'm not totally in love with.
There are, but I think you could counter that by saying there are things that Joe Espada has done that Dusty would have never done that are positives. Like, I don't think Dusty, here we are on April 17th, would have already moved Jose Abreu down to the eighth spot in the order. He wouldn't have done that. Yeah. Jose Abreu would still be hitting fifth or sixth at worst. And also, we would obviously, some people in this city, Jeremy Booth, hello, don't agree with this, but he would have never made the move to put Yordan Alvarez in the two hole. So I think there are some, progressive new ideas that Joe Espada is willing to consider and put into action that offset the questionable decisions that you mentioned.
Yeah, 713-780-ESPN. All right, let's change conversations here. This is depressing. Who are the biggest NFL draft busts of all time? Draft is next week. Cannot wait. Draft show. You're going to be on the draft show. Texans with 2 second-round picks. They have a third rounder. Cannot wait for day two of the NFL draft specifically. Who do you think are the biggest NFL draft bust ever?
I mean, it's hard not to go to quarterbacks first just because missing there just is so much more impactful. It has such a longer period of time before you can overcome them. So the name I go to first, I think, is someone not from a college not too far away in the next state over. I think I might go with Jamarcus Russell. And I think it was part of the reason I would go with Jamarcus Russell, not only because he was terrible on the field and didn't do anything for the Raiders after they drafted him, but I remember some of the talk and the reasons why people were so enamored with him in the draft process, and part of them, and I'll never forget seeing this video on ESPN or NFL Network, wherever it was, but they kept showing video of Jamarcus Russell at his pro day, like throwing from one knee, and they're like, oh my God, Jamarcus Russell could throw the ball 70 yards kneeling down on one knee, as if that had any correlation to his ability to play the quarterback position in the NFL and read defenses and deliver accurate passes. So I think everyone just got so enamored with his arm strength and his size that they completely overlooked every other aspect that you need to be a successful quarterback. So I think I would go with Jamarcus Russell as my biggest bust.
My favorite Jamarcus Russell story is whenever they – I think it was the Raiders that did this. Like, they gave him film to go watch, and they didn't put anything on it.
Yes.
And then whenever he came back, maybe it was in the offseason or whatever, they were like, hey, what'd you see on the film or whatever? And he tried to lie about what was on the film. And they're like, yeah, Jamarcus, there's nothing on that.
Gave him blank. Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame. It goes to show you, though, that – like playing in the NFL and being good at the NFL is so much more than talent. And like you need a good, healthy amount of talent, obviously, but like work ethic, being cerebral, being really, really smart, especially at the quarterback position. I think that stuff matters a ton.
Yeah, there's. I mean, when you look at some of the guys that are going to be on this list, I mean, a lot of them are those type of people. I think one of the other names that's going to be mentioned as far as biggest bust of all time, especially because of who he was drafted right after, is Ryan Leaf. And it's exactly what you mentioned, right? Ryan Leaf had all the talent. It wasn't that he wasn't talented, but everything between the years was a complete mess, and that just goes towards your point that you can have the size, you can have the arm strength, you can have the pedigree, the production at a major college. All those things are great, but if you can't process between the ears, both with the maturity level and just reading a defense and reacting quickly to what you see, then none of those other things matter.
Yeah. Who else you have on your biggest bust ever?
I think there's one guy that's right actually in the NFL right now that you have to consider one of the biggest busts of all time, especially since when you consider what the team moved or gave up to go, move up and get him. But I think you have to throw Trey Lance into the conversation. The 49ers, I don't remember exactly what spot they moved up, but they moved all the way up to the third spot in the draft and possibly making things worse. I don't know if it makes things worse because the guy they would have drafted wasn't really any good either. But apparently they originally were going to move up to take Mac Jones and then scouted Trey Lance and decided to change their mind and take Trey Lance instead. But you gave up a ton of draft capital for him, and then you got back, what, like a fourth-round pick when they traded him to the Dallas Cowboys, someone you gave up. I'm going to see if I can scroll around and find the exact package that they gave up to trade up for to get Trey Lance. But it's just amazing. Okay, so they sent three first-round picks. Yeah, so they moved up to number three overall, gave up three first-round picks for Trey Lance, got nothing for him on the field as a quarterback for their team, and then only got back a fourth-round pick when they traded him to the Dallas Cowboys. So hard not to consider Trey Lance one of the biggest busts of all time.
Yet
it doesn't matter for the 49ers. They're in the Super Bowl last year.
You know where you can actually, like, draw a comparison to Trey Lance to the Houston Astros, though, is, like, one thing that I admire that the 49ers did was that they didn't get pot committed to a guy who wasn't very good. Because there's a lot of organizations that get pot committed to people that aren't very good, right? Like Jose Abreu, right? Like, we currently see that. So whenever you make a bad decision, even if it's a top three pick, even if it's $19.5 million a year, like, there is a sunk cost associated with that to where if they're giving you negative production, you should move on. So, like, yeah, that was a terrible pick. Yeah, that was a terrible trade to trade up for all of that. But I admire that San Francisco was like, okay, we seriously screwed up, but we're going to accept that and we're going to move on.
Yeah, no, it's a good call, and I have to look it up, but I would be surprised if Trey Lance even got four or five starts for the 49ers. I mean, they were with very little on the field.
One was against the Texans, remember?
Yeah, one was in a game they won. He also had, I believe, a start against the Arizona Cardinals, I want to say. There was, I think, two starts back-to-back a couple years ago when Jimmy Garoppolo was out. But there was very little on the field from Trey Lance in actual NFL games, you know, not practice field, obviously. But very little on the field in NFL games that they saw from Trey Lance before they are willing to move on. So, yeah, as bad as that pick was, especially when you factor in the compensation factored into that move up, definitely credit to their staff for realizing their mistake and not getting locked into the sunk cost fallacy, not locking themselves into keeping Trey Lance and continuing to make it work despite all of the things they were seeing with their eyes that he wasn't a good enough quarterback for them.
You have any others that stick out?
The Arizona Cardinals, I'll go with another one where at least they are willing to move on super quickly. Josh Rosen, 10th overall pick right the year before they drafted Kyler Murray, just absolutely awful. They ended up trading him to the Miami Dolphins. I think the funny part of that process was, I don't know if you remember this, Jeremy, but in the lead-up to them actually drafting Kyler Murray, the Cardinals' Twitter account, whenever there would be like some very super team-friendly, basically kind of what the Astros are doing, spinning PR for Jose Abreu, they would spin PR for Josh Rosen, like, yeah, that's our guy, that's our quarterback one. Their Twitter account was putting these things out for Josh Rosen in the lead-up to the draft, trying to basically deny the fact they were taking Kyler Murray by continuing to insist that Josh Rosen was their QB1 and we're sticking with our guy. And then, of course, they didn't. They traded to Miami and took Kyler Murray number one. But, Josh Rosen, just an absolute bust inside the top 10. I think he'd have to be factored in as well.
All right. The GoFundMe for Jose Abreu being DFA'd is now up. You can find it on my Twitter, at Jeremy Branham. I just pinned the post. So at Jeremy Branham, go to my profile. It is up there. A GoFundMe to DFA Jose Abreu. The title says Jose Abreu needs to be DFA'd. Want to join me in making a difference? Question mark. I'm raising money to benefit Jose Abreu being DFA'd. Any donation will help make an impact. Thanks in advance for your contribution to this cause that means so much to me. More information about Jose Abreu, please see the back of his baseball card, especially 2024. The goal is $39 million because 19.5 plus 19.5, you know, the final 2 years left on his deal. That equals $39 million. So $39 million is our goal. How much of our goal do you think we'll get for the GoFundMe to DFA Jose Abreu?
I think we could crack 1,000. I think we could crack 1,000. I mean, that's really on you. You're the influencer. You got to drive the people to the post, make sure they get involved. But I mean, people, if you're listening, be the change that you want to see. Be the change you want to see in the world. If you don't want Jose Abreu at first base, let's pony up the cash and get him off the team.
Let's DFA Jose Abreu this GoFundMe. Now, I'm doing this with a little bit of jest, but I did put it going to the Houston Food Bank. It's not going to go to me. It will go to the Houston Food Bank for whatever that is worth. But the GoFundMe to DFA Jose Abreu is live. You can find it, GoFundMe. You can find it on my Twitter, at Jeremy Branham. All right,
solving world hunger and getting rid of Jose Abreu, I think, probably could be argued as the two biggest needs that he's fixing in this country.
So why not?
I think that's a worthwhile charity to link to the Jose Abreu cause.
Yeah, $39 million is our goal of the GoFundMe for Jose Abreu.
If you can only solve one, Jeremy, world hunger or getting rid of Jose Abreu?
Don't make me answer that. I'm just kidding. World hunger. World hunger is the answer, and it's not just because I'm live to the city of Houston right now. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Your car wreck of the day nominations now. Killer Bees live from Highway Cantina in Edo on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! Bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
He's Brian in for a blank. I'm Branham. Thanks so much for Highway Cantina for having us out. You got to swing on by. Have some Highway Cantina Tex-Mex. It is delicious. The food is fantastic. The drinks are great. The margarita's strong, and they are cheap. If you're going to a game downtown, too, they're in Edo. You can park there, have a bite, have a drink. Perfect pregame spot. And then you can walk over to the stadium of your choice, wherever you're going that day. So make sure you swing on by Highway Cantina. And again, thanks to them for having us out. Car wrecks of the day. Did we mention Ryan Leaf? I'm distracted. I was building a GoFundMe for him.
Did you mention Ryan Leaf? Yeah, I mentioned Ryan Leaf.
Okay. I appreciate that. people were tweeting about it. All right. What's a car wreck of the day? What are you nominating first, Brian?
I think the first nomination is pretty obvious. Jonte Porter getting the lifetime ban from the NBA has got to be our top nominee for car wreck of the day.
Yeah, he needed an interpreter. I think he would have been able to escape all of this if
that's
he had
the problem.
Hippie.
I mean, Chris Carter told everyone that you got to have a scapegoat, and unfortunately, or fall guy is what Chris Carter said. Sorry, and unfortunately for Jonte Porter, he did not have a fall guy ready.
Yeah, that was he's been banned. He's been banned like he was a twitcher who said something naughty. Definitely one of the car wrecks of the day. He's the same. I mean, he's Pete Rose. He's Shoeless Joe.
Without the talent.
Who else has been banned in the NBA?
For life? I don't know. It is funny, though, when you see the differences between how the two sports have handled it. We know Calvin Ridley. Now, he didn't bet on them to lose, but he bet on the Falcons, and he got the one-year ban, while Jonte Porter, and some, maybe the dollar amounts are different in the two cases. Not everything is equal in these two situations, but, yeah, a one-year ban from the NFL to Calvin Ridley, whereas Jonte Porter gets the lifetime ban. I wonder if part of this is talent level. Like, I mean, Calvin Ridley, obviously, more important to the NFL than Jonte Taylor is important to the NBA. I wonder if this was a player who was more important to the league status and the league ratings and everything that comes along with that, the financials involved, yeah. maybe they wouldn't have pushed for the lifetime ban.
Well, I mean, for Jordan, it was what, like half a year? It was a year and a half or whatever?
Right.
It was a year and a half for Jordan?
If you want to believe that was why he was gone, that's certainly it.
Well, it's not a theory. It's a fact.
Okay.
It's documented. It's been reported on.
Okay.
Either way,
I do find it interesting the difference in these two stories, especially with the drastic difference in the punishments. Because I mean, Calvin Ridley bet on the team he was on. I mean, I don't see how that would be viewed as any less significant to the trust of the fans and the legitimacy of the results on the field than what Jonte Porter did.
Yeah. The Texters are putting Austin on car wreck of the day. The Texans are saying the music's too loud. So, Austin, you get car wreck of the day for having the music too loud. I found a list on Wikipedia of people who have been banned by the NBA. Now, none of these are like lifetime, I don't think, because maybe some of them. O.J. Mayo was banned for violating the NBA substance abuse policy.
Okay.
But I think it was 164 games, which it says considered to be the longest suspension in NBA history. That's something. This Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling, Richard Dumas. I don't remember that name. We need blankers here. Roy Tarpley was banned for repeatedly violating the NBA substance abuse policy. He was a Maverick in the early 90s.
Yeah, I remember the name. But as you're mentioning,
Doug Moe.
We'll say that one again.
Doug Moe was banned for permanently banned for his involvement in the 1961 NCAA University Division men's basketball gambling scandal.
Okay, so you got to go back to the 60s before you find a guy getting banned at this level for gambling?
Yeah, there's a guy
all the other names you mentioned are substance abuses. Donald Sterling obviously got caught on tape saying horrible things.
Yeah.
A lot of these examples are not what Jonte Porter got banned for.
No, there was a lot of guys early that were banned for point shaving, like in the 50s.
Sure.
Ralph Beard, Alex Graza, Norm Mager. I've never heard any of these guys.
No.
Apparently they were banned for point shaving. I mean, Boban was point shaving
up
the other day. Why didn't he get banned? Why didn't Boban get Bo banned?
He got the people free chicken. He was the people's champ. It wasn't The Rock anymore. He took the title off The Rock. It's now Boban.
Everybody's giggling about Boban point shaving. Meanwhile, Jonte Porter point shaved a little bit, and he gets lifetime banned.
Because he didn't get anyone free chicken, Jeremy. I think the lesson's obvious.
Car wrecks of the day. I mean, how can you not say the Astros? I mean, the Astros.
Yeah, and specifically, Ryan Stresley's got to be mentioned as a car wreck of the day nominee.
What is his ERA now? Let's see.
Well, it was 9-something before the game, and he gave up 2 runs in an inning. So
this is one was unearned apparently.
Oh, one was unearned.
So that
okay.
helps. That helps. It's 9-4-5.
Oh my God! Okay,
there's your setup, man. You want to know the Astros' big three ERAs because they all pitch today, so it's available to me.
I don't, but I feel like you're going to tell me anyway.
Who do you think is the best? I'll tell you that Abreu's is the worst, but whose is the best?
Wait, Abreu's is worse than Presley's
half? I don't know what I said, but Presley's is the worst.
Yeah.
So who's the best?
I thought you said Abreu.
I might have, but I meant Presley.
Okay, so. Next worst, I would guess, would be Hader.
That's right. Abreu's got the best of the big three. Abreu's at 6. Hader's at 831, and Preston's at 945. That's your big three, ladies and gentlemen. Rafael Montero pitched today. You can guess his ERA.
Well, it was 2 coming into the game, and he gave us a scoreless inning, so it's below 2 now, right?
180.
Yeah.
Rafael Montero, the new big one in the Astros' big three. 2180, Sleepy Joe Espada. Oh man, that's a good line.
Yeah,
Sleepy Joe Espada and the Astros Evergreen Car Wreck 2024. I hope it's not one of those years.
It would be show material if we could nominate them for Car Wreck of the Day.
Sleepy Joe Espada is an elite joke, though.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Especially now that we're in an election year. That's pretty good.
Abreu used the car wreck of the day, DFA. I agree. If you want to contribute to the GoFundMe to DFA Jose Abreu, you can do that. Follow
he did
it on
have
my
an
Twitter
error that caused
Branham.
A run.
What's that?
He did have an error that caused a run, so certainly a worthy nominee.
2180 Bobo might have shorted the chicken company and improved his position with free chicken. Point shave. Bobon was point shaving. I want justice for Jonte Porter.
I can't believe you're so anti-free chicken.
I'm anti-point shaving. I'm not anti-free chicken. I love free chicken. If it's free,
sounds
give me 3.
Like,
I'm anti-point
like
shaving.
Sounds like you're anti-chicken, Jeremy.
495-8, Charles Oakley's banned from MSG. How about Robert Kraft being nominated for Car Wreck of the Day? Apparently, he was throwing Bill Belichick under the bus. He told Arthur Blank that he couldn't be trusted. The Patriots are disputing this, but come on, man. Why are you throwing Bill Belichick under the bus like that?
Paul was, as you imagine, very upset about that today. I don't blame him. Like, if there's any way that this could be proven as true, and it does kind of line up and make sense, because a lot of the conversation we were having when the coaching hires and searches were going all around in the NFL is like, man, Belichick's name's not being mentioned anywhere. The only name, only place he was being mentioned is Atlanta. And then I think there was a report that came out that said that he didn't even finish as one of their top three candidates before they ended up rehiring Raheem Morris. So the idea that there was some maybe bad-mouthing of his character or something behind the scenes that made these NFL owners decide that Belichick wasn't the guy to hire kind of rings true.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's a terrible look.
You think he was being truthful, or he doesn't want Bill Belichick to coach somewhere else and win like Brady won a Super Bowl in Tampa?
I mean, is either one good? They're both bad.
What do you think is more likely?
I don't know. I think I believe the story. I believe that he probably did talk to other owners around the league, and for whatever the motivation was, whether it be he actually believes it or – and I guess that's the question. I got to make a choice. Sorry, I got to make a choice here. I think he actually believes it. I don't know why he would believe that, but maybe there was some disgruntled opinion or disgruntled feelings behind the scenes of Bill Belichick taking too much control, maybe getting too much credit for the success. And Robert Kraft maybe feeling left out and not receiving said praise as well. So maybe it's a little bit of hard feelings for a long tenure there and not getting any credit for the dynasty. And maybe Robert Kraft is being a little bit petty, taking the revenge and bad-mouthing Belichick on the way out.
Yeah, I could see that. I think it's because he doesn't want him to win somewhere else like Brady did, and he's throwing him under the bus. For Bill Belichick to get a job, he's going to have to go in there and be like, hey, look, non-guaranteed money, whatever the contract is, but you can pay me whatever you want. Your terms can be whatever you want. I think he's going to have to take a little bit of a step
Sounds
back
like you're
in terms
he's
of contract
have to grovel.
I don't think he's ever going to coach in the NFL again, actually, as a head coach.
I can't imagine him going through what you just said to it, because it almost sounds like groveling. You're having to go hat in hand and basically like, hey, I'll take anything you give me. You don't have to give me any, you know, GM powers. I'll take the players you tell me to play, you know, on my roster. I'll coach the way you want to coach. I can't see Bill Belichick agreeing to something like that.
What else you got?
I think we have to throw in, and look, it's unfortunate for him. It's not his fault necessarily, but man, just when you thought the Pelicans were finally going to get to the place where they their promise and their potential always had them being, then Zion pulls a hamstring. Car Wreck of the Day nominee to Zion's hamstring for cursing the Pelicans. Just when you finally thought they were going to get there, having the rug pulled out from underneath them.
He played so good yesterday, too. It pained you to see. Like, him leaving the court, I felt I was gutted.
Didn't he have, like, 40 points when he left the game?
Yeah, he had 40. The thing, though, is, like, some people's bodies are just prone to injury. And, like, Zion being that big, that athletic, I think this is the story of his career. Like, it's been that way since Duke. Like,
yeah, like, I've made the joke before about NFL players are always, you know, always hurt. Like, I think it's just the fact that their body doesn't like playing NFL football, and Zion, unfortunately, might have a body that doesn't like putting up with the rigors of an NBA schedule.
Or like Lance McCullers. You know, some people just don't like throwing baseballs.
Exactly.
Do well with their elbow. All right, that's it for us. Thanks so much, Highway Cantina, for having us out again. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks to Austin for doing all the hard work, producing today's show. Brian, the hard work as well, engineering, and then doing the last hour. He was Blank. I am Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. So long.